All right, guys, welcome to another Sport and Debate podcast on a beautiful Tuesday. Instead of a Wednesday, we decided to switch it up on you guys. I got the usual suspects, Steve and Jesus, in the building.
What's good? What's good?
I'm a little under the weather, but I'm going to still take him down. I'm going to still take him down. Let's go.
We play hurt around here. We play hurt.
I'm not in Florida during another vacation, so I'm actually at work, unlike some people.
But we'll let the guys mudsling a little later on. But before we let them go at it, gotta pay these bills. Jesus and I have been. If anyone that knows Jesus and I, we're constantly clashing on different topics. Tell them the source of our constant clashing, man.
I mean, it's Keeping It Real Always by Jeff De La Rosa. He keeps it real. I sometimes agree with him keeping it real. John don't like people keeping it real. So that's what we debate. I mean, let's be honest. That's what it is. But go check out the book, guys. I'm just messing with you. But go check out the book, Amazon.com. Get the hardcover by Jeff De La Rosa, Keeping It Real Always.
And guys, something else for your library. My Family Story by Loreen M. Alice. If you're a homeowner, if you're a prospective homeowner, please check it out. It's something that everyone, I believe, can relate to. It's about Miss Alice's testimonial about her battling with the banks to save her home. It's something that I'm sure maybe you may be going through, a neighbor may be going through. Check it out. It's available at Amazon.com, Kindle, or hardcover. And Steve, you got a special message for our listeners out there, man.
Yes, I do. Ladies, definitely go check out LingerieStyle.com. Again, it's a wonderful website. Has beautiful lingerie, different items for you to choose from. Also, fellas, if you want to get that special gift for your wifey, definitely go check out LingerieStyle.com.
All right. It's a good look. Now, as you heard last week, we started our divisional predictions as the countdown to the season begins, the NFL season, that is. And this week, we're gonna highlight two divisions, the AFC West and the AFC North. However, we're going to start with the AFC North. I'm going to go to Steve. He's going to lead us into his predictions as far as the divisional standings. And let us know if you agree with him or disagree once again. And Steve, if you don't mind doing the honors, who do you think?
Absolutely. Let me tell you how it really is before Jesus messes this all up like last show, all right? All right. So number one, at the very bottom of the list, we have to put the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they're just a team. They're continuing to build. Are they going to get better than 5-11? I think so. But I feel like they're not going to get that much better. You know, you have some key pieces that they have, like Trent Richardson. Brandon Weeden now is coming into his second year. You still have the Holmgren, you know, GM system in place. So he's going to try to get some pieces together over the next, you know, I would say another year. And they can start making a run at this. But, you know, I just don't see them being any better than what they are. So they're going to be my fourth place team. At number three, this is where it starts getting surprising. I really feel Baltimore drops from 1 to 3. Now, here's why. They have lost a lot of players defensively and offensively. All right. So you're asking the team to do a lot. Now, I get it. They put a lot of money in Joe Flacco. What they're trying to say is Joe Flacco is going to be that guy and get some, you know, into multiple Super Bowls. But what did I say in our very early shows? I said Baltimore Ravens, they would go and win the Super Bowl and would not come back to the playoffs. And I think that's what happens this year. I'm sticking to my guns on that. At number two, I have the Pittsburgh Steelers only by a slight margin. Pittsburgh was 8-8 last year. You still got Big Ben, yet you have a revamped line that they're going to work on. Now, they're also a team that has lost key pieces in Mike Wallace, but again, you know, they have other receivers there to step up. So I think they're going to have a slight edge. Defensively, you still have Dick LeBeau's defense in play. So I really think they're going to have a slight edge, but not by much. And I think the team that finally comes out and makes a statement is the Cincinnati Bengals, because they've been there the past 2 years, and it seems that they just keep getting better and better. They're drafting well. They're coaching well. They have key marquee players in A.J. Green. So I think that is how the AFC North will play.
I see I see Jesus looking
over there.
Jesus is looking over there. He was shaking his head like a disappointed parent. I see him go. You know, rolling his eyes. Jesus, you look like you have a different way that AFC North is going to shape up from Steve. Go ahead and let us know.
I think Steve is just. If you ever want to talk to a guy who contradicts himself over and over again. This is the guy. I'm not going to get into it just yet. Give me a minute, because he's right about one thing. Obviously, Cleveland's going to finish last. Brandon Whedon is their quarterback. Brandon Whedon is a guy that graduated college at about the age of 35. I mean, he was a rookie at the age of like 35. I agree with you. Yeah, fine. They're going to be dead last. But then he has the Baltimore Ravens at number 3. How does that make sense? This is the same guy that was okay with the contract that Joe Flacco got that supported it.
Whoa.
Saying that they need to commit to him for the future and the present. This is his team. They just won a Super Bowl. And now all of a sudden, he's saying, well, yeah, they paid him all that money. But you know what? It's not going to do anything. They're going to finish worse than they did last year. That makes no sense whatsoever.
It's actually
Pittsburgh that finishes third. The reason why Pittsburgh finishes third is because you look at that team. It's an aging team. They got a running back this year. I love Le'Veon Bell, however you say his name. I apologize if I'm butchering it, from Michigan State. But he's a good running back. They have to go back to their old roots, defense and running the ball. But the problem is they're still getting old everywhere else. You have a beat-up Ben Roethlisberger who just can't play a full season for the life of him. He just can't do it. Troy Polamalu, you guys let me know the last time he played a full season. I can't even remember it. They don't have Harrison anymore. Okay? You look at the defensive line. Casey Hampton, is he even good anymore? I don't think he's good anymore. You know, Beasley, I don't even think he's there anymore. It's just an aging team. They're not the same team that they once were. Now, number 2, you got Baltimore. I agree with Steve with a lot of things. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think that I know they lost a lot of key pieces. Ed Reed, Ray Lewis, I mean, you name it. Over and they lost a bunch of people. But they're not going to be as bad as the Pittsburgh Steelers, because at the end of the day, you still have Ray Rice. I think Joe Flacco is a decent quarterback. I think he'll get a couple of wins, maybe 7. You might get lucky and get 8, but that's pushing it, okay? But at the end of the day, one thing Steve is right about is the Cincinnati Bengals are the up-and-coming team in that division. It's very simple. A.J. Green, Andy Dalton, and then Steve is very high on this rookie running back from Cincinnati. I think it's Giovanni Bernard, which I agree with him. I think he's going to be very good. Ben Jarvis Grinnellis will show him the way. But to say that Baltimore's going to finish worse than they did last year when you were one of those that supported the contract that Joe Flacco got, it makes no sense, Steve. No sense.
Go ahead, Steve.
John, let me explain myself to the fans, because obviously, Jesus here is very confused and does not understand what I'm trying to say. And that argument that we had way long ago, if you listen back to that, I was saying that the only way you pay that heavy contract is if you believe in a player. And Baltimore believes in a player. Did I say this guy's going to come out and win 3, 5, 10 rings? I did not say that, nor did I imply that, all right? At the end of the day, you need guys, supporting system, to help you get there. You can't just win based on one position, all right? And the fact that you just said they lost how many players on both sides of the ball? How in the world? And John, we're haggling probably over one game. This is how close we are. Because he just said both those teams will not make the playoff. So we're haggling over one game, all right? Come on, my man. You're pretty much saying the same thing I'm saying with a different twist, all right? Let's be honest. And look, he's smiling. Look at that. He has nothing to say to that.
I have lots to say to that. Go ahead, John. You have a question for me? Go ahead.
Now guys, I'm before Jesus gets into his soapbox moment, let me ask this of you guys. Do you guys see more than one team coming out of the AFC North in terms of a playoff team for this season?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely. No. This division is not as strong as it once were. You know, Pittsburgh, you just can't count on them. Ben Roethlisberger, if he plays the whole season and Troy Polamalu plays the whole season, that team wins the division. But let's be honest, when was the last time that happened?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen with this team. You know, Mike Tomlin's a great coach. He fires up his guys, but you just can't rely on them. Baltimore, Steve and I both agree. They both lost a lot of guys, a lot of pieces. You know, my only beef with Steve is just the fact that the question that we had played out before was, you know, was he worthy of the contract? And I know exactly Steve said yes, he was. The answer was yes to it. Yes. So if he's worth that contract, then he should be able to win a division as sad as this, or at least make the playoffs with a division as weak as this. But you're saying he's not, because to me, if he's worth that contract, if he's worth that contract, then Pittsburgh and Cleveland, that should be four wins right there, off the bat.
He should also have a supporting cast.
Okay. So then he got paid Tom Brady money, right or wrong? With his contract, right?
Yes.
Tom Brady, when he won all those Super Bowls, who was his supporting cast on offense? Who? Troy Brown.
Yeah. You had Wes Welker was still there.
Wes Welker was not there. No. Yeah. We're talking about before that, when he was winning the Super Bowls. That's exactly my point.
In his defense, Tom Brady then had a stellar defense.
But this defense will be okay. They're not gonna be great. They're gonna be like Tom Brady defense that they had the Patriots defense then, where it'll be productive, but it's not gonna be great. They have a lot of young guys on defense. I mean, if you saw them last year, those young corners were coming out to play. But again, Steve and I mostly agree, but he's just. Look, I have to call him out on it. No, all right, we recognize real. In the words of Jeff De La Rosa, keeping it real always.
Yeah, and go ahead, Steve. I'll let you have the last point on this one.
Last real quick point on this. All right, again, you know, it's all about years. You're putting that investor for the future. I'm not saying in 2 years they're not going to be back there, because they will. I feel like not this year, because they just lost too many pieces. You can't recover that many pieces in 1 year. But in 2-3 years, which is what they're thinking of, they're going to start making runs again. And Joe Flacco is that guy. He can get them there. He's proven before he'll get them there. Will he win another Super Bowl? I can't guarantee that, nor am I saying that. But I do say that he'll start making consistent playoffs in 2-3 years.
In 2-3 years, Rice doesn't have 2 or 3 years. This is Ray Rice's peak.
Why you draft?
He has about 2 years left in his tank.
Why you draft?
Exactly. Let's go.
All right, guys, we got to wrap this one up. We know this is a topic that could go on and on and on and on. Frankly, if you guys were picking what pizza to decide, that would be a topic to go on and on and on and on. But that's neither here nor there. Guys, let us know what you think. Let us know how you think the AFC North will shape up this year. Just to recap, Steve's predictions were the Bengals finishing first, Pittsburgh finishing second, Baltimore sliding in at third, and the Browns sliding in at the fourth spot in the division. Jesus's standings are Cincinnati on top, Baltimore is second, Pittsburgh is third, and Cleveland finishing bottom. No love for Cleveland. Cleveland, I got you. I got you.
You got them finishing winning the division?
I got Cleveland. But guys, let's get into paying these bills as well before we get into the North and to the South. Of course, keeping it real. Jesus, you want to tell them about that book?
Amazon.com. I want you guys to go get the hardcover. I want you to read it first. Then after you read it, give it to somebody that you dislike, so that way you can argue with them, you can fight with them. Just make sure you don't have anything sharp objects when they're reading it or you're reading it.
Please, safety is always encouraged. And My Family Story, How the Bank Waged War on Us. Check it out. It's Miss Alate's account on her fighting with the bank to save her home. I'm sure many people out there can relate. Please check it out. It's available at Amazon.com, Kindle hardcover. And Steve, you go ahead. You got a special message for our ladies and gentlemen out there?
Yes, I do. Ladies and gentlemen, definitely check out LingerieStyle.com. Again, it's a wonderful website based around beautiful lingerie, panties, bras. They even have accessories like foot pedals, things that you need to make you feel beautiful. So ladies, I encourage you again to go check out LingerieStyle.com. And gentlemen, buy your ladies some stuff. You know what I mean?
Please,
it's coming
please.
Around that time of year. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, I think they got the hint, man. I think they got the hint. But we go to head down south. AFC South action.
He goes first, right?
I don't care. It don't matter.
Steve went first. I'm gonna let Jesus take control on this one here. AFC South, Jesus, who do you got?
I'm just letting you know right now, if Steve doesn't agree with me on this, I think he should be fired. All right. I'm gonna go talk to the board of directors myself of Sporting Debate and make sure he gets fired. Well, here we go. Okay, this one's pretty simple. Blaine Gabbert's your quarterback. Blaine Gabbert's hurt. Maurice Jones just coming off major injury. Justin Blackman is out for the first four games for suspension. Jacksonville's dead last. Obviously has to be. And then we got third is going to be Tennessee. I like Chris Johnson, but he's not consistent. I like Jake Locker, but he's not consistent. I like Kenny Britt, but he's not consistent. There's no consistency there. You get what I'm calling. Yeah. So Tennessee's going to finish third. And then it gets tough.
Woo.
But I have to say Indianapolis is going to finish second. I like Andrew Luck, but I think last year they creeped up on everybody. I don't think they're going to creep up on people this year. People actually respect this team. So they're going to be a good team, but they're going to have to finish second. And then you have Houston. That's the total package. Run game, pass game, defense. They're aggressive. They have a great defensive coordinator, great head coach, good offensive coordinator. I mean, they're all good offensive line. They have it all. There's nothing they don't have. They win the division, and I think they win the division by a couple of games.
Okay.
That's how much I think they win it by.
Okay. Yep. All right. Wow. Steve, what's your take on the division? What's your take on the South?
All right. So at number fourth, again, Blaine Gabbert. The fact that he's quarterback just puts you out of the running. I'm sorry. They need to figure something out down there in the
Chad Henne should be starting.
Yeah, they need to figure it out. And I feel bad because MJD's career is unfortunately dying down there in Jacksonville. Yeah. But they're finishing fourth. At number three, again, you have to go with the Tennessee Titans. The fact that Jake Locker, I mean, you know, will he improve? We don't know. It's the sophomore year, you know. We'll see what happens with him. Chris Johnson is not who he used to be. He's not that, you know, that big game type of guy. So, you know, injuries, Kenny Britt consistently getting hurt. Can he finish the season? And can their young guys step up? So that's why we're going to put them third, because I just don't see that happening this year. And then I agree with Jesus, but I think the gap is much closer than what he says. I put Indianapolis at number two. The fact that I put Indianapolis at number two is, you're right, they did come out and shocked a lot of people. A lot of people did not expect them to do that well. They took kind of the league by surprise. And not only that, they did have a feel-good story behind Chuck Pagano, and it did motivate them. So you have to give credit for that. But there's certain things that the film just doesn't lie on. And the fact that Reggie Wayne has not lost a step, the fact that they've now recruited another receiver on the other side who's a young gun that they drafted, the fact that they got Ahmad Bradshaw. Now, granted, he does get hurt a lot, but when he plays, is very productive, okay? And then defensively, you know, we're kind of shocked that the 3-4 scheme under Chuck Pagano worked so well that quickly. We thought it would take a little bit longer, and it didn't. With those factors, they're going to be still a consistent, really good team. With number one, again, it's got to be the Texans, and really it's because a lot of things. Arian Foster still being productive. You still have the wide receiver, and Andre Johnson, who's very productive as well. And he only had 4 touchdowns last year, so you figure he may get more this coming year. The fact that they were able to add Ed Reed to safety, who I feel hasn't lost a step, and the defensive player of the year is on that team in J.J. Watt. You'd be a fool not to put them at number one, but, I mean, if you look at the standings last year, Texans only won this division by 1 game, and I think it's going to be the same thing this year. I think this is going to come to, you know, the last 2 or 3 games of the season, but I feel that the Texans pull that out by a game, finishing same thing as they did last year, 12-4 season, and with the Colts finishing at 11-5 or 10-6. That's my pick on that.
Okay. One question on this one, guys. Now, you guys would agree that Houston is the front runner in that division, yes?
Yes.
Now, do you think that, Indianapolis aside, do you think that the lack of quality competition hurts Houston when they're facing higher caliber competition like a Denver or like a New England in the latter stages of the season or even into the playoffs?
I mean, in normal years, I would say yes. Excuse me. I would say yes. But this year, I look at the AFC. It's just so weak. It's disgusting this year. I mean, we went over the AFC East. I mean, none of those teams really stand out to you like that's going to be a threat to win a championship. We talked about the West. You got Denver. Denver's the one team that it potentially could make it to the Super Bowl. We went about the North. We other than Cincinnati, we don't have any of those teams making the playoffs. So I honestly think other than Denver, none of these other teams should scare Houston. They're better than every other one of these teams. Mm. Cincinnati, maybe, but Houston is a better team than Cincinnati.
Right.
So other than Denver, no, I think this is the year that they should be in the AFC Championship game. This has to be the year. If they don't make it this year, then Matt Schaub needs to go. It's over for him at that point in time.
Unfortunately, my friend, I hate saying this on the air as always, but I do have to agree with my counterpart here in the fact that the AFC has been set up. You know, there isn't a better time for them to seize the moment. The fact that you have the Ravens unloading their people with retirement and letting a whole bunch of people go, and with a lot of those players going to the NFC to play, mm-hmm. you know, you have to factor in, you know, that division getting weak. Cincinnati is going to be great, but we don't think they're going to be that team yet. They're still, in my opinion, too young. So really, this team, all they have to fear is the Colts in their own division, who historically gives them trouble,
yep.
and Denver. Those are the only two teams that they have to worry about. And I agree, if they don't get into the AFC Championship this year, they have got to figure something out, because it's been too many years, you know, that we've been saying, oh, the Texans are going to make the playoffs. Oh, they're going to make the playoffs. They didn't make those playoffs those years. Then when we finally said, okay, they're going to make it, they finally made one, but they didn't go far in it.
Right.
You know,
right.
And yeah. Last year is the same thing. And we're now saying that, all right, they need to make that next step.
Right.
And I feel this year they should do that.
This has to be the year, especially because if you look at it, it's going to be there for the taking to get to the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. I've always said this and I continue to say it. Peyton Manning is one of the worst playoff quarterbacks out there. So you put that Houston defense against Peyton Manning in the playoffs, I like Houston's chances. Yes. I really, really genuinely like their chances.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's really easy to pick these guys because, again, you know, the fact that you have J.J. Watt, you know, on your team does numbers for you.
Yep.
You could do so many things. And now you're adding a key player in Ed Reed, who is phenomenal on the back end of defenses. I mean, Houston should be able to run away with this. They really should. I mean, the only threat that they have really are Denver and the Colts. I mean, and I would like to say that the Pats may have something to do with it, and the Pats are pretty much, I feel, going to run away with their division.
Yeah.
But we just stated before that, you know, they're missing key pieces as well.
Right.
So. You know, and they got to get over that hump because they, you know, to beat them as well. So, and you know they're going to face each other this year. I believe they're on the schedule. So, they're going to be tested. We're going to find out this team when they make the playoffs. We're going to see if they're ready for it. And I think me and Jesus feel that these guys are ready for it and they're going to seize the moment this year.
And to be honest, guys, just as a side commentary here, I think this is the beauty of football. It wasn't that long ago where the AFC had the perennial teams, the power teams, and that's where the strength was. Now we're kind of seeing it gravitate back towards the NFC. So
NFC,
It's going to be interesting the next couple of years how long the NFC's dominance will last, and before the power shift happens again. All right, but we're going to go ahead and get into our segment known as the rant. It's Jesus that is on deck. I see him getting the cap ready. He has the game face on. Hey, Zeus, guess what? The floor is yours.
I am so disgusted in Roger Goodell and just the NFL in general this past week. Riley Cooper went on and a crazy, crazy rant, and it was maybe like a sentence rant. But the stuff that he yelled out, the way he yelled it out, was so disgusting, so deplorable. And you had the Eagles find the guy. And Roger Goodell said that's good enough. I'm staying out of it. Roger Goodell, since he's come into the NFL, has been the guy to lay down the law, quick to suspend someone, heavy hand. Pac-Man Jones, you know what I mean? He's always been so quick to get on people. And then something like this happens, and he sits back. For those of you guys don't know, he let go of a vicious, vicious, disgusting slur. I mean, the most disgusting, racial slur you could possibly say. And he said it in a form that was so hateful, so wrong, that Riley Cooper should be suspended from base, from football, and not just for a couple of games, but for the season. I don't think he should be suspended for life, because I'm a big believer in giving a second chance. And I do believe that now he regrets what he did. But I think he regrets what he did because he got caught. Not because of any other reason, but because he got caught. If he didn't get caught, I don't think he's apologizing for it. I don't think he's changing his views on it. And for him to say that that's not who he is, that's not the type of person that he ever was, then why did you say it to begin with? You were mad at a security guard who was of the African-American, and you yelled at him something that is as disgraceful, distasteful as it comes. Okay? And Roger Goodell is okay with just a fine. How does that make any sense? I praise Michael Vick, because Michael Vick went on the record and said, we forgive him. And I'm okay with that, because Michael Vick is the one person who knows what it is to make a mistake. But Michael Vick is another guy that regretted his mistake because he got caught, but he learned from it. And I believe Riley Cooper will learn from his mistake. But for Roger Goodell, once again, to sit back and just watch this after what we've been dealing with, you know, the Trayvon Martin thing, you know, for him just to not do anything, I'm not cool with it. I'm not cool with it. Okay? He needs to be suspended. Right now, Riley Cooper's back at practice. Just today, him and, you know, I believe Vic hit him with a touchdown pass, and, you know, there's Riley Cooper, he's saying all the right things now, but he didn't say the right thing at that point in time. And just like Pac-Man Jones made a mistake and Michael Vick made mistakes and they were punished for them, Riley Cooper needs to be punished and Roger Goodell needs to step up to the plate just like he did with the other guys that made mistakes, because this is just as disgusting. You know, killing animals is bad. Going to strip clubs is bad. But this right here brought certain African-Americans back to a time that they don't need to be reminded of. There's no need for that. I'm not of that descent. But again, the form that he said it was so wrong and so disgusting. Riley Cooper needs to be suspended, and the NFL dropped the ball. That's my rant. I'm done.
I want to add on something real quick on that, you know, because not many people know, but I actually went to school with Riley Cooper. And you know, down in Florida, because he comes from the Tampa area. And, you know, it hit home. And I completely agree with Jesus, because, you know, the form and the way he said it, and, you know, we're for the most part, people are proud down there, you know, when somebody makes it from Tampa, Florida. We were really proud of Sean King, you know, when he came out of that area. It's the same thing how we felt about Riley Cooper. But the fact that this came out, And Jesus is right, with that much venom, the NFL truly did drop the ball. He does need to be suspended. And I'm saying that as a person who has known Riley Cooper prior to him going to college. You know, it's bad. Yeah. It's bad, John. That's, you know.
Yeah.
It's bad.
And you know, if I may join you guys in adding something here, I think for me, As a person who was black, the thing that I observed was the ease and the nonchalantness at which it came out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Yes.
It sounded like, you know, almost like a regular word that you have in your everyday vocabulary almost, and I think that's what really got, you know, me personally. And when he was saying that, you know, I wasn't raised this way. You know, I come from a household that doesn't use words like these. It made you wonder, like, well, where did you pick this up from? Or is this already in your heart? So it, you know, like Jesus said, of course, everyone deserves second chances. But you also have to wonder, you know, what's in the individual's heart? It's going to be hard for him to come back. As you know, the NFL has a lot of black players, and a lot of his teammates are black. And a lot of the teams that he will be facing have a lot of black players. So it makes you wonder if he's going to be targeted. It'll be something to look out for this season, definitely.
Real quick question, do you think he needs to be suspended as well?
I do think he needs to be suspended, simply because of the precedent that was set before. If Roger Goodell, and this is where I agree with Jesus, if Roger Goodell was kind of a hands-off commissioner, kind of laid back, and you know he didn't do anything prior to this, then you could say, well, okay, you could see how he would be hands-off. But I think given the precedent that has been set with other players and their actions, I believe he has to be suspended. All right, guys. So with that being said, we have concluded another podcast. Going to go ahead and pay these bills one last time. Jesus, you want to throw out Jeff's book there?
Yeah, Jeff De La Rosa is keeping it real always. Amazon.com. Get the hardcover. I apologize, fans, again for my voice today. I made it through, and I still feel sick, so it's all right. Get that book. Jeff De La Rosa is keeping it real.
And, of course, My Family Story by Lorene M. Alice. Check it out. Her testimony on her fighting with the banks to save her home is available on Amazon.com, Kindle, or hardcover there.
And check out LingerieStyle.com for beautiful lingerie, beautiful panties, and foot pedals. Go check it out, LingerieStyle.com.
And guys, losing my voice there a little bit like Jesus. But, guys, the European Football League, European football season is upon us. Check out the page. I will be posting some things up there as far as league standings, where teams will lie, who's getting relegated, who's being in Europe, who's going to win the league. And definitely check that out.
But, all right, guys. Wait,
go ahead.
Guys, make sure if you need promotions, you want to contact us for anything like that, SportingDebate1@gmail.com. Keep the Twitter love, SportingDebate_. And Facebook, keep the love coming all the way, guys. We love you guys. Stay safe. Be safe.
Adios.
Peace. Bless.